John, we've all heard EVP sounds, electronic voice phenomena. What's your take on it? Why can they be recorded? Some of them, of course, are very hard to hear, but they're out there. Something is out there.
Right, they certainly are. And I mean, I've recorded some myself, and I've been in some investigations where people have recorded EVPs. One of my favorite ones was the one at the Athens Mental Asylum that I mentioned a little bit earlier on the show, which is an old mental asylum, and we had a tape recorder in the basement room that we closed the door to. Nobody was in it. We didn't hear anything, of course, you know, in the building, and then later on playing the tape back, almost as clear as day, you can hear somebody saying, "Would you help us?" You know, a woman's voice, a whispered voice, "Would you help us?" And it came from an area that used to be, you know, patients' rooms. People record things all the time, and it's an interesting phenomena. I don't know, obviously, what the science is behind it, but, you know, I wonder if it's not something, again, on energy frequencies, maybe. For some reason, we don't hear these things when we're on the site. We don't hear them audibly with our ear. It might just be a different frequency that somehow electronic instrumentation, tape recorders are able to pick up. But I do find it interesting that there are so many. You can go on to any of the websites and people have them, you know, posted all the time. And some of them are very difficult to hear if you hear.
Oh, they are. And you know what magnifies it even more, John, is when we do try to play it then over the radio. Right. You know, people are in their cars and what have you. They're very, very hard to hear.
Right. There's all kinds of distortion that you get on that. But you know, the ones that make me just sit up really are the ones that you get that are very clear, like the one I mentioned here at Athens. I recorded one myself at a place in West Virginia called the Moundsville State Penitentiary. And I was with two other people in an entire cell block where there was nobody else except the three of us. And we were walking around, and you can hear on the tape, you can hear us clanking on the metal stairs. We're up on the second tier of a cell block, and so you can hear all this noise. And we're going downstairs. We open the gate, close the gate, and you can hear all that. The last sound you hear that we make is you can hear our voices very clearly, very distinct. One woman, two different guys. And you can make out each one all the time, you know, who's speaking. The last thing you hear is somebody slams the gate. And right after that, there's this voice on the tape that just says, boom, you know, just boom, as if it was like sort of following us around and kind of making a joke of the noise that we're making. But it was very clearly a human voice, and that's what it said. And I played it for the other two folks, and they said, you know, it wasn't any of them, and it definitely wasn't me. And it was just clear as day. And I don't know what to make of that. Like I said, I do think there's something that has to do, again, with frequencies and, you know, energy, and maybe we don't hear things, just like dogs hear things that we don't hear, you know. It could be possible that, for whatever reason, an instrument might pick up something at a certain time that we just don't hear until we play it back and hear it on that machine.
Why do they seem to want to communicate with us and then get recorded? I mean, do you think these apparitions, these ghosts, whatever they may be out there, actually know that they might get recorded when somebody asks them a question?
I don't know if they're aware of that or not. I do think that there is probably a desire to communicate. It would seem to me that if spirits are hanging around for whatever reason in a location, and they're not beyond showing themselves by moving objects or even sometimes partially appearing as an apparition or partial apparition, it seems to me that they're trying to get our attention. And so, yeah, I would think they're definitely trying to communicate. Whether they're aware that they're talking into, you know, a tape recorder or something else, I don't think so. I think they're all the time trying to communicate, and sometimes we're lucky enough to pick it up on a machine and sometimes not. But, you know, there are people, as you know, who are clairaudient, who hear spirits all the time without the benefit of any kind of equipment. And so, obviously, they're in communication just like that. I think there's an intention. I think they're trying to communicate, and it might be just because, as some people say, they're lost. You know, they don't realize they're no longer part of our world. Or maybe they do. Maybe they do realize they're in a different realm and they need to communicate some message, which goes back to what I spoke about earlier with some people who are happy and comforted by visitations from dead relatives who frequently bring a message or advice or comfort in some way.
Now, when you go hunting, sort of, let's use this asylum that you write about in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. How creepy was that?
Well, that was pretty creepy, and the reason why is the asylum was built in 1872, and it was one of these old-fashioned sort of Victorian mental institutions that, you know, almost every state has a few that would cover hundreds of acres, and they had its own print shop. It had a dairy. They raised pigs. They had a farm. You know, it was like a city unto itself, and there may have been anywhere from 5,000 to 6,000 people at any one time when it was, you know, fully occupied. I think the reason why that place is so creepy is because in a hospital, a mental hospital, places like prisons, you know, any place where you have a mass of people who are undergoing trauma, either emotional, physical, you know, mental, that energy that's stirred up like that, I think has got to be, you know, pretty awesome, and that is left in the place, and it just is there. The mental asylum is closed for the most part. I mean, it is now owned by Ohio University, actually, but most of it is shut down. The wards are all just shut down and abandoned because of things like asbestos and things like that, so it can't be used right now. But you know, the old furniture is laying around in some of the rooms. You can go into some of these places and you'll see graffiti left by the patients on the wall. There's on the windowsills, like 3 or 4 stories up, people have carved sayings and poetry and everything else to former patients. And some of it is so poignant, you know. Some of it is saying things like, you know, I wish I could fly out of here and all this kind of stuff, you know. So you've got to think that with all that emotional energy in there, that alone makes it just a creepy place.